You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to the Smoking Word.
What's up? What's up, everybody? We are back with another one, and always brought to you by my merch house. CasaTheRock.com is the spot. You want to support the show, you know the deal. Go there. We have a lot of new stuff. All t-shirts are $21 for the rest of the year. That's how we're celebrating 2021. So make sure you go there, support the movement, support the show. We have a lot of stuff for everybody on there. And make sure you follow us on Apple Music, Spotify, and on YouTube. But you got to subscribe. You don't listen, it's free. So it don't cost you nothing, you cheap bastards. But you got to subscribe. That way it gets, you know, the show in front of more people. Also, make sure you follow me at HoyaRock357 on Instagram. Catch up with everything Madball, everything Casa the Rock, everything Smoking Word. And also, now, we are official. Make sure you go add the Smoking Word podcast on Instagram and hit us up on there. I want to thank everybody who's been writing in, sending in questions and shout-outs. First question from my man, P.A. Ray. 456. What up, Ray? If you had to kill Richie Crutch or Mad Joe from Wisdom and Chains, who would it be? I gotta put he's laughing out loud, but I was gonna leave that part out. What up, Ray? All right. If I had to kill one, you see, I got my answer quick, but I don't want to say I don't want to throw it out quick because it's not saying with a maliciousness. But I think Richie gotta go. You know, I love Richie, but you know, me and Joe got something in common. We got a little bit of the Brown connection going. So, yo, first of all, I don't want to kill neither one, but Ray, Richie, it had to be you. You got to go. Joe, one love. Love you, Rich. All right. Next question. Bexley Speed. Other words, Frankie Samara. What up, Frankie? Other than myself, who are your main bass influences? Nice one, Frankie. But you know what? To be honest with you, you know what's up. I got a couple guys I like, but I started playing bass because my brother wanted to play bass. But James Jameson's the greatest bass player ever, and Geezer Butler. Everybody else just is filler. So next question. All right, yo, Dwayne Muncy. What up, Dwayne? Hoy, I want to know how you rate Madball Records, favorite to least favorite. Well, that's going to be hard because I can't remember what I just fucking said 5 minutes ago, and I can't remember my albums in order. But I could tell you my least favorite is Empire. There's some cool shit on it, but I think it's a little bit stiff. But, you know, I guess we love all the classics. You know, Set It Off, because it's my first album, is always going to be one of my favorites. Hold It Down, you know, put us on that map. But I don't know, that For the Cause record, I think, you know, we got some shit on there. So I don't know. I can just tell you Empire is my least favorite. Next one. Asparagus Jones. Why are bass players so rad? Well, it's easy. With a shit. The reason why is no asses shake unless there's bass in the house. Next question. Chucky Boy 183. What up, Chuck? BX in the house. Will Madball ever do a 5-borough tour in New York City when shows commence? Not only will we do a 5-borough tour, we're going to invent a borough so we could play that shit. We're waiting for the word and we're ready to play anywhere and everywhere. Because we ain't scared. What else we got here? All right, Grand Dave. Yo, are you going to drop a new Madball and a True Union as well this year? Yeah, we actually been working on this Madball record for a minute. For everybody out there who don't know, we're going to be dropping our 10th album, Nuclear Blast. And that shit, we're planning to fucking kill that groove game on this record. And for everybody who does not know, True Union is my other band. It's a brand new band, not a hardcore band, but it's on some gritty street rock shit. But you could add us on Instagram also. I'm planning to drop 3 singles, 3 videos. If everything goes planned this year, recording at the Chop Shop with my brother Stress. And we're planning to kill that ass-shaking game. So look out for that. What else we got? All right, next one. Wisdom in Chains. What will be your last meal? That's easy. Sofia Vergara. Next question. Arrow wins. How would you describe your play style? Dopeness. Pure dopeness. I want to thank everybody again for writing in. Keep sending those questions in. And today, our guest, my boy, the secret weapon, the fat burner, bass player, my man from the UK, Mr. Adam Blake, H2O. Let's set this shit off.
To the smoking word.
Mr. Blake.
Mr. Rock.
Yeah. Everybody, Mr. Blake is in the building officially.
Are we recording right out of the gate?
We're recording right out of the gate, but you know, if there's something you want to say to me, we could always do the magic of like, you know,
of texting and whatnot.
What's up, Mr. Blake?
You know, just living the dream, my man, waiting for them to give us the go ahead to get back out on the road and start rocking.
Yeah, no, and that's actually, it was funny because I have a couple, I never really write down what I'm going to bullshit about because, you know, I'm a free spirit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's always things, a couple points I always try to hit. One of my later things, what I was going to ask you about, actually, I'm going to bring up now because it just happened. I didn't get to see it. It was just you guys doing the live stream thing.
Yeah, we did. It's sort of like a documentary slash performance video. It's actually a death stream. That's the official name of it. And it was cool. Yeah, I watched it for the first time the same time everybody else did. And I was really pleased with it.
So hold on. So how did this come up first? Let's rewind. I know, you know, I know everybody was doing, you know, not everybody, but some people decided to do live streams and stuff.
Yeah.
But this one also kind of, to me, came out kind of out of nowhere, which was kind of in a dope way. What I liked, like a little bit like, you know, like, yo, we're doing our thing and boom, boom, boom. And then it was a little bit more than a little extra than the average stream thing. What was that about?
It sort of started with like this idea of just getting together and playing music as a band, right? It was never like supposed to be a thing. It was just like we haven't literally stood in a room and played loud music together in over a year. So let's do that, right? So we got together in Toby's garage. It was Max play drums, Toby's son, if you don't know. Toby singing, Todd Morse, and myself. And it just felt good, man. It was just fun. Like,
I'm so jealous of you.
Yeah. Took it back to the basics, like dudes in a room playing loud, fast music. And then
I know.
Right? You miss it.
Yeah. No. I hear you. I miss it. Guy. Yeah, no. And so you were But the street, so that was the I know you guys were jamming. I saw you guys get in the room.
Honestly, like I wasn't really feeling the live stream thing for 2020 when a lot of other bands were doing it, because I feel like for the kind of music we play, if you're going to do it, you need a crowd. Like it's more than just dudes playing. There's an energy transfer between the audience and the band that if you don't have that, it's not the same thing, you know what I mean? So, but once we stood in that room and did it, I was like, you know, this feels nice. This feels right. And if it would be like, if people would enjoy being a part of this and seeing it, it would be, it wouldn't be cool to not let them do that. And then Toby was sort of talking to this company, Liquid Death, about sponsoring and working with his podcast. So it just kind of all came together at the right time and we did it. And Liquid Death wanted it to be more than just dudes in a room playing. So they kind of had like a little, they had us kind of like some, you know, some stories and stuff like that chopped into the mix. And I thought it came off pretty well. You know, we're actually going to, we're going to put out the music stuff as a live album as well, because it sounds really good. Rusty flew out, Todd Friend flew out. It was,
that's what I was about to say. I know Ty, everybody, you had the whole lineup.
Yeah. It just, you know, it's like, if you can't have everything, at least a little something. And honestly, like for me, it was almost selfish just to the fun of just cranking it up and playing the tunes. You know what I mean?
I was psyched. Like I said, we were actually on the same boat where, everybody doing the live stream, and, you know, I get it, you know, people want to see it. We want to play, and, you know, and also it could help out the, you know, it helps every, it's, you know, I don't hate on it to hate on it. I just, for us, I kind of saw it like you guys, you know, it's being done. It's, you know, everybody's doing it, you know, let's let it simmer down and whatever, or think of a cooler angle.
Yeah. I felt exactly the same way until we did that practice. And I was like, you know what, this feels right. And maybe it's because we hadn't played in so long that it felt fresh and exciting again, just to be dudes playing music.
I know. And now this is a question I have. I'm glad you brought it up, because I've been asking this and you kind of answered it, but I'll ask you anyway, because it's very interesting, because, all right, take the live stream. Like, we bring up the whole feel, the crowd feel, you know, we're hardcore bands. You know, if we get it, you know, it's all about the crowd on crowd, feeling the person right up on you. You know, we get it and all that. Obviously, the times are crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, and I kind of got the feeling I know the answer, but Adam Blake, right now, we want H2O to play a fucking drive-through, you know, thing. You know, you're going to have, you know, if it's 150 cars, you know, it's going to be, you know, they let every, you know, 3 to 4 people a car, but, you know, the whole routine, whatever the routine is, but it's going to be one of those right now. They have it because there's no shows, you know, or the lay of the land is as is right now. How do you feel about it? And what do you do? Not only how do you feel about it, but exactly, I want to hear at the end of the day, what do you do? Is it a go or a no?
It's tough, man, because like my initial reaction is I'm not into that idea. You know what I mean? Like I'd rather be either dudes in a garage or bodies on body in the pit. That middle ground, like half full venues, you know what I mean? Like, we're hardcore bands. We've played a lot of half full venues.
We play a lot of half full. Like, even half is just like a good day. Yeah. That's like a good show.
But I don't want that to be like what we're going into, you know? So I think at this point, I mean, and this is like, this could change based on, obviously I'm one of 5 members, you know what I mean? But my gut doesn't want to do shows until shows are shows again. You know what I mean? Till it's like what it's supposed to be. Like, we're not, what we do is we don't do concerts, right? We're not the band that stand on stage and you sit in your chair and you watch us, our virtuoso musical performance. It's like a full contact sport. Yeah. Is what it should be. And and if it's not that at the moment, man, I gotta say I'm not feeling it. But that could change.
And I totally get it, but I'm that other guy. And I don't say it for just financial reasons, which is a given, because Mabwar is our, you know, our family. This is our main business. Me and Freddie, this, you know,
of course.
It's either this or we'd be crawling in through your window right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As we speak. But what was my point? I forgot my point because I was too busy thinking about
you. You would do one?
That I would definitely do one for the point of this. I get it more than anybody, you know. Of course, it ain't gonna be the same. It's not gonna be even normal. It's not gonna be even like, yo, it's a dope show.
Yeah.
But I'm willing, if people, I'm always felt this way. If you're willing, if you want to see me, I want to give you what you want to see. And the way I looked at it, and this is on some PMA shit, and not because I'm on some PMA shit, and not because I'm talking to you, and not because of Toby, but the fact is, I'm like, I'll look at it this way. Fuck it. We're going to experience something new. We have a story, at least, at the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, yo, remember that time? You know, we had a fucking, you know, in the parking, you know, the weird open air and the cars beeping. Yeah, it sucked, but it was crazy. Yo, it's crazy. Yeah, you know. And then I figured we would still see some people and get to hang out. Like, I miss that. I really miss that.
Well, how about this? How about my people call your people when we make an H2O map or drive-through show happen?
Listen, you never. That's why I'm giving you my. I'm throwing it out there to let all you people out there know. The magic works.
Yeah.
You know.
But man, I honestly feel like the lights at the end of the tunnel, my brother. I do. Like I see like shows coming back. I don't think touring is going to come back that quick. Just because when they say go, every band from fucking bluegrass to black metal is going to be trying to book tours, and it's going to get real crowded. It's going to be hard to put a string of dates together. But as far as like weekends and shows, I think we're going to be back to something this year. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I could see like already, you know, some little things happening and, you know, and then you got, you know, again, I do these things, you know me. You know, we know each other for years. I love talking shit. We love talking and just talking. And I do this, you know, I like conversation, not, you know, and figuring shit out.
Yeah.
And it's just, times are so crazy right now with all this stuff that, it gets confusing with the shows, but I feel this, things are going to start happening. Like you say, shows are very limited and touring is going to be, I don't even got no answer on that because that's changed. You know, it becomes an international thing. It becomes
exactly. That gets tricky.
It gets tricky. But I'm throwing out there without being political. I ain't scared. I'm ready to rock whenever people want us to rock. We in there. You know, obviously we want to be safe for everybody and whatever you consider safe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a single father of two children. So I'm just throwing that out there that if I'm out there, I'm taking my own life in my own, you know, hands.
There's a certain point where it becomes a little bit about, I mean, and we're getting to that point about the individual's choice in how they want to proceed, right? Like you certainly can't judge people that want to stay home and really protect themselves from this thing. But at the same time, like we play music that's listened to by people who will throw themselves off of a stage and hope somebody will catch them. They're like, you know what I mean? Our people are...
I agree. Yeah, you're right. You're
a rugged
right.
bunch. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if people want to start coming to shows and the authorities and the powers that be are giving permission for that to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I feel like hardcore shows would be some of the first ones to get a lot of people coming back.
Yeah, you know, and that I totally agree with what you say. You know, obviously, you know, if we had to go underground because they were saying nothing, then we would go underground. But I don't think that's the case. And we want to make things safe because I also, you know, we got to look into the people throwing the shows. We got to look out for them. They're giving people, you know, we got to watch, you know, we forget that when we're young, we shit where we eat all the time.
Exactly.
We know that, but
the momentum of things is moving in the direction of us getting back to something.
Yeah, you know, and I'm hoping, and you know, I'm ready to rock like everybody, I guess. You know,
every day, brother.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go. Just tell me.
And let me ask you this: before you got to do these little jams, you know, with Max, when you got in the in the shed, were you jamming?
Man, it's kind of fucked up actually. Like I realized, like I lost stamina in my right hand, which is crazy because.
Hold on.
You know what? Boy, it's a combination of my wife working from home. Right. Think about it, and not being on tour. The right wrist.
With one skinny spaghetti arm.
Yeah. So that took a while. Like because. It's kind of fucked up. For me, it's been longer because at the end of 2019, I got real sick. Like I have a condition and it kind of put me on my back. At one point it was touch and go if I was going to get to the other side of it or not.
Yeah.
So I hadn't actually done any like real like shows since summer 2019. When H2O did Persistence at the start of 2020, I hadn't been cleared to travel yet. I wasn't allowed, like my doctors needed me to stay local.
So that's what I was gonna add. And it was funny, Blake, again, you know, again, you got the glasses and you're ahead of me. You know, you're like, I was gonna ask you about that because I know about it. And I know you talked about it. I wanted to talk a little bit about what you have, because it kind of leads into, you know, also why I wanted to talk to you. Why, you know, a guy who has an illness or whatever, but yet you're grinding how you look. That to me is why I'm like, I'd be telling everybody. But you know what I mean? Like, for the point of like,
It's like nothing makes you focus more on your own health than when it gets taken away from you. You know what I mean? Like it's a wake up call, you know, and it's like whether Father Time does it or whether it's some kind of illness that does it. Like at some point we all have our reckoning, right? Like, are we going to deal with this thing and take proactive steps, or are we going to let gravity drag us down?
Exactly.
And I was fortunate in that I was, you know, pretty fit and healthy and robust when this thing happened, but ultimately it was happening deep at a cellular level. Mm-hmm. So like all the pull-ups in the world can't help you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
all the pull-ups in the world can't help.
New jam. but it got dark, man. Like, you know, as much as like I was fortunately always focused on health and fitness, it kind of zoomed stuff out and made me focus more on, I know it sounds cheesy, but living in the moment, you know what I mean? Because I really did come close to losing all of it. You know?
Absolutely. And I say that because, you know, again, people knew, and I knew from the background, so I never knew what was out there. And I know you talked about it, but I remember when I got the word, you know, at one point when you didn't make that tour.
Yeah.
And it was scary. It was real scary. And I was like, when they told me how you looked in different colors, and I was like, what? We were all like, you know, bugging out. And yeah. I knew you had something you know, that you've been dealing with. And then, you know, my point of you bringing this part up is not so much just that, just something. Basically, you have a very serious condition. Yeah. But then for a couple of months later, I see you fucking hanging off of fucking ropes and fucking all that shit. And
the good drugs, you know, like they put me on a medication called Ultomiris, and I have to get an infusion every 8 weeks. And as long as I'm on that, like I'm basically normal in quotations, right? If I come off that, there'll be a slow, steady decline back to my current state. And luckily, you know, like, you know, I have insurance, fortunately, blessedly. So I'm good for the foreseeable future. It's weird, like when I went to my specialist when I was really sick, and I'd been through sort of this sort of roundabout a few times over the years, because I got diagnosed with this thing way back in the early 2000s. And back then there was nothing they could do. They didn't have any medication. And she told me, she's like, and we got to get you on this medication, but it takes time to get you on the medication. So there's going to be this window of time where it is extremely likely that you could have a pulmonary embolism, a stroke, or all of that, because your blood could clot at any point.
Jesus.
And man, like my default for things is humor. Like I'm like a Roger Moore style, like I'll crack some bad joke. You know what I mean? But like I tried it and like it just felt hollow. And I went out to my car, dude, I'm not too proud to admit it, I fucking cried my eyes out. I was terrible. Oh,
absolutely. You kidding me?
Like, yeah, I got a life. Like I don't want to lose this thing. Like life is good now. But you know, as obviously I made it through that, you know, it was about 3 weeks of like them telling me like this shit could happen at any point, and me actually getting to like the other side and getting the drugs.
Yeah.
But it comes with advantages. Like I was like, I got that Pfizer vaccine. I got both doses of that because of this sickness. So I got to
turn that. Yeah. You get all the new shit.
Yeah, they give me all the hotness. So
yeah, you get all the new shit.
So I got those antibodies.
Now, obviously, you know, you guys, even when you are at your wildest partying, you guys were always, you know, into health or in one way or another. So that definitely, you know, help you think your condition, did that help that you were eating? Did it have anything to do with that, or it would have happened anyway? You know what I mean?
Probably. Yeah. Like I think taking care of your health and your fitness, it has feed forward effects. You know what I mean? Like goes all the way through, but like it's hard to like point and actually say, yes, because I did this, this was better. Like I was fit, like my blood was a mess. You know what I mean? And like I said, like whatever I did on the outside, whatever foods I ate, juices I drank, or exercises I was doing, that wasn't gonna be.
Yeah.
That affected. Yeah.
No, I learned that shit last year during COVID. No, yeah. I knew that a while ago, but you know how that shit is, you know, again, something we'll get into more a little bit more because, you know, obviously, you know, you're a coach, you're a instructor. I don't know what's your title. And the motivation thing is the probably the biggest part.
Yeah, hands down.
To
make a positive change requires a big reason if it's going to last, right? Like six-pack abs on Instagram is only going to carry you so far. You know what I mean? You got it. Like if you're really, especially if you're older, you know what I mean? Starting that middle point of life, like you need to find a compelling reason to do the right things to keep you healthy and fit if that's your goal.
Yeah.
And that can require some digging. And for me, what I've looked at with the people that I've coached is if you can get it to be not about them, but about somebody or people that they care about, it is a much more powerful transformation that they can undergo. You know,
Mr. Blake, this is why I wanted you on, and this is why I always hit you up. You know, I tell everybody, I hit up Adam Blake all the time. Yeah. He's my go-to guy. Yeah. You know, throughout the months, whenever I have a couple questions, I would hit Adam with certain questions of where I was at. And I never told him. I never really got into it with anybody. Like, yo, I'm trying to do this, this, and that. I would just hit you with questions of where I was at.
Yeah, it was pretty. I gotta say, man, like it was like I remember I hadn't seen you in a long time, and I saw a photo of you, and I was like, yo, what the hell happened? Like, it just looked like you look so healthy and you changed, man. It's amazing. Yeah.
And exactly what you've been saying. And that's why, again, I was saying it the other day. I got on a feed and I go, everybody go listen to Adam Blake's fucking live feed. I always hate when people do those things. But the difference with you and what you were saying, you were hitting not just one point, like, oh, wow, I agree with that. You were hitting a lot of points on what the average person who's trying to lose weight or just get healthy.
Yeah.
It's you hit the in-betweens, the A's and B's and C's also.
Yeah.
So it was like every time you would put a post up, I would hear it. And I was like, fuck, he's hitting me with another where I was at or something I'm looking forward to, like weigh yourself. After you relieve yourself, after you poop, after you pee, you know, and how your weight's going to fluctuate. And
it took a lot of kind of mental fortitude for me to start posting more about that stuff and putting that stuff out there because, you know, bass players, man, like, I mean, perhaps you're an exception, but we tend to like to be a little bit, you know, we're a little off to the side. We're quieter, more low key bunch. But I realized that I had information that could help people and experience that could help people. And ultimately, like, that's what this is all about, especially now, right? And especially because of what I've been through too in my particular health journey. Like, if I can put something out there that's going to help somebody get a little bit healthier, a little bit fitter, then it would be wrong of me not to. You know what I mean? So Yeah. So that's why I started doing this. I'm glad that it's been helping, you know, people. I mean,
hell yeah. It helped. And like, again, like you, wherever you're thinking of it, you're thinking of it. I could tell you're working with a lot of average people.
Yeah. Cause yeah, that's my, you're that's hitting my,
and what, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. That's what makes the most change. Average person.
It's like there is what is optimal, and then there is what is practical. And ultimately, what is practical is going to win over the long term. And like if you're 23 years old and you want to work, you can go to the gym for 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, and eat your meals out of Tupperware. That's one path, right? But that's not usually who I'm working with. It's people that have kids, that have jobs, that have life pressures, and they kind of have to find ways to work health and fitness into that. Yes. And they can you can still see amazing progress. You just need to do it a certain way, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, unfortunately, that's most of the people that seem to be, you know, that connect with me anyway. They're all sort of in that bucket themselves. So it makes sense.
Yeah, no. And it's like, and like what you said, that I think I felt that way. And this is the reason why I got my shit together more was, listen, like people got to understand it. I'm going to throw a little secret to you guys out there. You guys who don't have girls or think like, yo, I need a brand new car or I need abs to get a son. No, you don't. You just need to be outgoing and you need to be cool and you need to treat people good. All right. Mm-hmm. That's number one. So forget that. So for me, you know me a very long time. For me, I'm confident in myself. It was never that. Obviously, health-wise, I knew. I was like, yeah, you know, I got to get my shit together. And after I had my son and then, you know, being a single father, it was always in my head like, yo, I really got to get my shit together. But, you know, living a wild lifestyle, which ain't really wild, but traveling and doing all that. So I started baby stepping way later. And then not till my mother got sick and, you know, I already dealt with that and I knew it was coming. And I've talked about it before, but long story short to people out there hearing this first time. Well, I'm a single father and my mother was basically the mother to my son. You know, my wife passed away, so my mom was raising my son. So after her, basically my son has nobody else but me. And I said, okay, I'm no way I'm leaving my son, you know, parentless. And I said, I got to take control of everything that I physically got control of. And I said, my health is my what I could control. And I said, and if I don't, it's all on me. So I said, okay. And I literally, well, kind of what you did. And I would hear people talk about this type of shit back in the day. And I would say, yo, that's some corny shit. That shit don't work. And this is a fact. And I got one up right now. I always put one up now. I got a dry marker board and I put why I'm doing it. And I said, for my sons.
Awesome. Awesome.
Every day I woke up, I look at that. When I didn't want to do shit, I looked at that. I wrote it. Yeah. Number one. And it was for them. I said, I would look at it as tired as I was. And I put my sneakers on. Once the sneakers go on, it's on.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, and doing, if it wasn't obviously my mother's magic during the whole, during something fucked up happening, something good came out of it. But because of my sons and because of them, that's why I did it. And then I just got all my shit and then I started using resources. And I'm just telling people this story because you don't need to pay for a trainer or whatever. You know, that's great and whatever, but there's info out there if you just start picking and talking to the people around you. And that's what I did. I started hitting you up.
Yeah.
And one of my first ones was Adam Blake. I'm thinking about quitting coffee. And I was like, you're like, yeah, it's good to detox. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting a little jittery because I was getting anxiety from everything that was happening.
Yeah.
And then I said, man, my diet. And then I would start listening to what you were saying. And then I would, you know, just eating clean and how being active. And then I'd do my own little research. And then I got on a mission. And then I said, it's consistency.
It's like I bring everything back to music. Like that is like the worldview that I have built for myself. And it's like playing bass, right? Or guitar. Like you don't need to know all the fancy chords or the fancy stuff. You just need to be able to rock hard on the basics, right? And it's exactly the same thing with health and fitness. Like, do the basics, master the basics, and you're going to crush it. You know what I mean? The complicated stuff, the really tricky stuff, it's there if you want to take it to that next level, but you can rock hard and do some amazing things.
Absolutely.
Fundamentals. You know what
Hell
I mean?
Yeah. And that, and a big thing I learned from this, obviously, you know, people have their special diets and whatever. I don't follow no, you know, specific diet. I just try to eat as clean as possible. I cut things out. And the thing I learned was two things. Well, there's a couple of factors we talk about, you know, counting calories, how much calories you take. You know, that used to confuse. I got dyslexia with numbers a little bit. So numbers fuck me up. So I never even. But, I, you know, we talked about this before. Yeah. You know, basically, you know, you want to lose weight, you know. All right, you know, you got to cut what you're putting in your body. You know, just common sense. You want to lose, don't eat. You know, all right. If you want to lose, you got to survive. So you got to eat. So you, okay, let me eat foods that are going to break down easy and are going to be healthier and going to help
your body the good nutrients it needs to thrive.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what calorie counting made me do was, oh man. Okay, yeah, I could get one bullshit fast food burger, or I could get two chicken breasts and a side of greens. I'm like, wow, that's more filling, and it's going to help me tomorrow when I got to do chest
or whatever.
So counting calories is really good at a couple of points in your journey. It's really helpful at the beginning because it can educate you on exactly what you're eating. Like, for example, like a tablespoon of olive oil is a ton of calories. And you know what I mean? So you might not know that. You might not know that a handful of macadamia nuts might be 400 or 500 calories. Like, you, like when you start learning stuff like that, you're like, oh wow, this is maybe something I shouldn't eat if I'm trying to lose weight. And then as you start, there's going to be a point as you're losing weight where you're going to hit a plateau, right? And at that point, like having a numerical metric, like counting calories, so you can make adjustments to get over that hump is really helpful.
Yeah,
it's never essential. Like, you could just eat less food, right? That's going to work. But there's certain strategies as you get closer, as you drop weight, your body changes, your metabolism will downshift, right? Mm-hmm. And it becomes harder. And so either you can continue to eat less food, so you end up having like a boiled egg and a pickle for dinner every night.
Exactly.
You
know what I mean?
Or you can find ways to manipulate that, like maybe eat more to a certain degree for a couple of weeks to let the metabolism come back up and then go back on your diet and kind of. So it's not essential. You don't need to count calories, but at the beginning and when you start hitting those plateaus, it can be really a really powerful tool, but it's not something you should do forever.
Like, exactly. And that was another great part. Definitely. Again, Adam Blake, this is why I tell people about how you were hitting spots. And it's funny because it almost felt like you started doing it knowing you didn't know what I was doing, but it was coming almost at the same time I started doing my thing, and the things were falling kind of simultaneously. And I had to hit you up about plateauing because I was plateauing. And then, you know, you threw me some things to go. And then one of the later posts you put up not too recently was another question that I had, but I didn't know how to put it in words, was what you just said was, okay, once you get to your weight, how could you be not eat a little bit more normal without being so anal? And that's where I'm not at there yet, but I'm getting closer to where I want to be. Like, okay, I sat there and thought, word, am I gonna have to like literally do this forever?
No,
you know, and I'm like, you know, and then you brought that up and I was like, fuck, that's a great fucking, you know, subject.
What fat loss is basically is controlled starvation, right? I mean, it sounds horrible, but that's how it works. Really what you're doing is you're not giving your body all the fuel it needs from food. So it's going into its own internal stores, right? And fat is your body, putting on fat is your body basically giving you more energy, right? It's saving the energy for when you need it.
And well, I got energy, Adam Blake.
And when you're eating less calories, your body's gonna start pulling that, right? But once you get to a point where your weight is good, you don't need to be in that kind of controlled starvation anymore. Now what you can do is you can eat more calories and just maintain that weight because your body's not going to be needing to go into itself. So it's like the journey is hard. You, for sure. Like, it, and but the destination, once you get there, you need to spend a little bit of time kind of minding your P's and Q's to make sure you settle in right.
Yes.
But the ultimate goal is that you don't feel like you're on a diet anymore. You just, that's just how you eat, how you live, right?
Yeah, you kind of start, yeah.
It's just, that's life's normal now. So that's the ultimate goal of any weight loss journey, ultimately, you know.
I kind of did a basic version, like, because I wasn't doing no cheats either for like months. I really went Rambo. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it depends on the personality, right? You're an extreme, like, you're an all or nothing dude. So it worked for you.
Exactly. And I went for that. But then it got to the point where even my son was like, yo, Pop, like, dude, treat yourself. Dude, you deserve it. Like, yo, you know, me treating myself was like, all right, eating a rice cake with almond butter at 8 o'clock at night. Like, that was my treat, like a cheat. And my you know, and there'll be sometimes I want to eat something a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
My son would be like, do it. And I waited and waited. But what I was glad is I kind of get that concept is now I could cheat and then I'm not too far off.
Yeah.
You know, even if I lose, I gain a couple pounds or whatever, you fluctuate from whatever. And I'm like, all right, I'm still in the zone where I know I could work this off.
Yeah. It's like, that's a healthy approach to weight loss. Like, understanding that, like, you have to allow yourself some treats, some joy in life, right? Like, no one's trying to get, I'm assuming no one listening to this is trying to stand on stage in their underwear posing for a living. You know what I mean? Like, we need to have a life that's enjoyable, and it's healthy to be
maybe Loki, but
it's healthy to be able to have a cheat in quotations, like eat, have like a party day, for example, and then go back on your diet. What's problematic? Yeah. You're somebody that has that cheat and you're like, oh no, I'm a piece of shit. I fucked up. That's it. Diet's over for me.
Yeah.
I'm all in on donuts, forever, right? And we all have that kind of that push and pull, but people need to have the freedom to, you know, have cake on their kid's birthday and then get back on their diet the next day without any guilt at all. Like, that's how you win this thing.
And that's how it's pretty crazy you saying this. That was like probably one of my first cheats, as you said, it was my son's birthday.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wanted a piece of that cake. And I was like, what the fuck? What's that going to do? Like, you know, it's still in my calorie zone. Yeah, it's not this, you know, but I was like, and then I started saying, yo, you know, again, you know how it is. You get in a routine and you don't want to break the routine, which in some ways is good. But then it's like you got to let your brain kind of roam a little bit and then bring it back in, you know,
that's why it all comes back to that thing you have written on that board in your room. You're doing it for your kids. It's your kid's birthday. If you can't enjoy that, then you're missing the point. Your reason is you're not following that, right? Like, if you're going to make an amazing memory with your son, you're going to do something amazing, you're going to have an amazing meal together. Well, have that. That's what this is all about. Like, and then get back on your diet the next day. And you know, that's healthy. That's how it should be.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Like, you know, every birthday, that's why I want to do this. I want to live to see my son's birthdays.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, it's a good way of putting it.
Enjoy those birthdays. Yeah. Guilt-free. Have all the cake. Have all the snacks. And then the next day, start eating normal again. Or, you know.
Now let me ask you this, because this is the hard part, which I know it's going to be a hard part, but something that all you guys dealt with, you know. Now, it's easy for people that live 9 to 5, right? This is going to be your next segment for guys on the road, you know, because you got more in depth. Guys tried this, but you know how to get more in depth. All right. It's easy. Like, so I've been home for the past year. Yeah. I'm on a routine where I'm having the same breakfast, lunch, dinner. You know, I can control everything because I'm home, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now we get back to touring or whatever, or let's say even businessmen that are traveling. We're going to need some hacks and tricks to keep things civilized on the road.
So I have the first thing that can be really helpful is fasting, right? Because the problem with, and I'm talking tour now, right?
Yeah.
You know, music tour, the trend seems to be to eat much later than you would at home. You know what I mean? I've been in that Madball dressing room when that bag of burgers comes in at like fucking 11 p.m.
And it's like the gremlins at 12.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know how it is, right? I know like after the show, there's that you got to eat stuff, right? So you kind of can go into it knowing that. So fasting is really helpful, like into the first part of the day. Maybe try and go 6 or 7 hours after wake up before you eat. Second thing is the first thing you should eat should be something that is low in calories, but rich in nutrition. So like a salad or a smoothie, right? Like, you know, something that has a ton of goodness, but isn't super caloric, and really just backload all your the majority of your calories and carbohydrates for later in the day. Because, you know, right, if you're on tour, you know, like after the show, that's when you're going to need to feed. So you can, if you know that in advance, you can kind of plan backwards going into that. You know what I mean?
And like, store up.
Yeah. And honestly, if you really want to do the ninja shit, like make it clear on the rider, like this is the rider. Like,
yeah,
there ain't no man alive that can resist the chips and salsa for a whole day if you're in that room. You know what I mean? You really can't have just one. If don't give us the candy. You know what I mean? Like, give us the cash. You know what I mean? Like, give us a cheap.
Yeah, for sure.
So that would be the strategy that you have to set yourself up to win. You know what I mean? And like, fortunately with tour, we know that is when the problems happen. It's at night, right?
Oh yeah. That's the worst.
Worst, man. So, you know, that's a strategy that I think would work for everybody.
Definitely the fasting. Cause I do that now, you know, I eat from, you know, it's at 11 to 7. You know, so, you know, and I can see that because, you know, if you're in your zone, you're not going to eat, you know, like, okay, you know, I got to wait till I wake up. You know, I got that discipline at home and I'm like, man, I'm wondering on the road how I'm going to do this shit. Like, I want to try it. Like, I'm ready. Like, let's go.
And the other thing with tour is you have to just understand that you're not going to be perfect and it's not the best time to try and do any of this stuff. Like even if you just maintain or don't go wildly in the wrong direction, that's a win. Like touring is about as unhealthy an environment as it gets.
You know, savages, what I mean? I know.
Savages, like no sleep. You know what I mean? Tons of interaction with random strangers up close, you know, it's.
Yeah, like, this is the whole thing without, you know, getting into COVID shit. How didn't somebody catch something already? Yo, because we've been around some of the filthiest animals on this planet.
I think touring musicians had an advantage, not physically, but mentally, because we're used to chaos and we're used to the wheels coming off and shit getting crazy. And we're used to, I mean, people think touring is like, oh, you're in this city and you're roaming around. Like touring, honestly, if you've never done it, might be 12 hours a day stuck in a van.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then a backstage room. Like
a shitty backstage room.
Yeah, shitty. Yeah. We ain't none of us play in the garden. You know what I mean? But it's like, so mentally, we're sort of used to chaos and craziness and things like that. So I feel like a lot of us had maybe an easier time making that pivot than some people that had more structured, like decades of like very predictable 9-to-5 lives where it's a bit, you know, this was a bit more of a harrowing event for them.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I always wonder that because, you know, there's always been the whole, not always, but in the last 20 years, some type of, you know, the health thing in music got more involved with rock and roll in general. So there's guys that do a lot of these avenues and stuff, but nobody's really hit like, you know, like a bunch of hacks for road guys, you know, and like really lay it out, you know, because now more than ever, because the more and more the people I talk about it, people hit me up all the time. And a lot of guys in bands and stuff, they're like, yo, same thing. Like, yo, I'm trying to get my act together. Yo, wait, you know, where you get your word from? What are you doing? I'm like, yo, I get my word from here. And I look here. This is my basic. And everybody's kind of piggybacking and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I know it seems like more conscious people now.
And another really powerful tool for touring guys is actually get out of the backstage and explore the town. Like get that 10, you know, wear a Fitbit, get that 10,000 steps a day in. You know what I mean? Like, it's not Instagram doing crazy muscle ups or pull up sexy, but it really makes a difference. You know, like just you're in a new city, get out of the backstage. And I know we've all been in these cities 1,000 times, right?
But you're still, right. You're right. Now, let me ask you, you just said something that 10,000 steps a day. So what do you think for right now? You, any of the average person, they're not working out, but they're like, okay, let me start slow. Like, what should my average day be for just?
I mean, like some kind of movement every day, right? Like, I mean, 10,000, there's nothing honestly magical about 10,000 steps. It's just a, it's a number that's going to take a little bit of work, but most people can get it. You know what I mean?
What's that time-wise about?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it depends how fast you walk, right? And what you do for a living. Like if you're a waiter in a restaurant or something like that, you're going to get it just you're going to get a lot of that done while you're working. If you're somebody that sits at a desk all day, you're going to have to be more proactive, yeah. But it's worth it, you know, like.
Yeah, because what I did, and you tell me this because you know better, because, again, I never really got into numbers. I probably would have had better results with stuff if I pinpoint.
Yeah.
But I feel good about what I've done. But I literally started, and what I do now is basically, now I got a routine, but I started with, I got to move at least 25 to 30 minutes a day. And I started with literally jogging in place. You know, that's all I would do, little jog into rounds, boxing rounds, so I could rest. And then I started making more rounds, and then I got a heavy bag. I started the heavy bag, and then I made my routine with the bat, blah, blah, blah. But I just told myself that, and I wasn't doing nothing crazy. I wasn't overexerting. You know, I was getting a sweat in, but like, and I started seeing that with just that and the diet.
It's about like wherever you are, it's about just taking that little step outside of your comfort zone, right? Yeah. And then your comfort zone gets bigger. And then you take another step outside your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
And what you've done, like honestly, you've done everything right. Like from what I can see, you know what I mean? You've been easy on yourself when it came to things like your son's birthday. You didn't beat yourself up, you enjoyed it, and then you went back on to mission. You found exercise that you could do that got you sweaty, got you breathing heavy. You didn't have to put a ton of thought into it.
Exactly.
And you did it, which is always the key to do the thing that you know you should do. And then as you got in better shape, you started piling a little bit more on. And fuck, man, look at you now.
Yeah, nah, man. Definitely. That's exactly what I did. You know, I just found easy ones. That's, let me do this. Just let me get sweaty. Yeah. And then I just kept on. And I would like, again, I pick people's brains, and I would always, and I tell people, you know, I think of guys like you, also other guys like, hey, you know, guys, these guys, you know, what's, you know, even blood clot, you know, he may drive some people crazy with overboard with everything, but I hit blood clot up too. He's another guy I would hit up with certain things because I'm like, look at this dude, how old he is. And look at, he's every day. What's my excuse? I look at you, Adam Blake got this. He got to go fucking get infused fucking 3 times, blah, blah, blah. What's my excuse? I look at it and I got no excuse. And then I go, why am I doing? But you know, I look and I go, look at them. Look at the results they got. I could get results. You know, it's like, okay, you just got to do it. What are they doing every day? All right. They're out there getting it. Okay. Yeah. You got to get it.
Yeah. It's cheesy to say, but like, there's like, your excuses are probably bullshit if you're listening to this and you haven't, you know what I mean? Like, like people will use age, or people will use they're too busy. And I get it, you're busy, right? But you don't need to commit 90 minutes 6 days a week. You know what I mean? Facts. You can get this shit done in like 20 minutes a day if you want.
Yes.
Just making a few better food choices. Like,
yes, like, absolutely, because that's what I did at first. I literally said, no sugar, cut out my sugar. I was eating no fast food. I said, I got to eat mad vegetables. I haven't eaten mad vegetables. All right, I cut out certain meats. I said, let me really, you know, do this way. I was strict at first, and then, you know, I started, you know, finding out, okay, chicken breasts, all right, because I do only right now, I cut out all red meats, and now when I do eat, it's either chicken breast, fish, or just vegetables, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll change it up like that, but that's all I do. And then I'm like, I learned, okay, and all right, if I'm gonna eat chicken breasts, all right, it's gonna be this one and not with the bone, you know, it's leaner, it's less calories, it's, you know, the protein, okay, that I eat fish, okay, and I know, okay, get my certain amount of greens, make sure, and then every morning I'm eating oatmeal, get my oatmeal in, you know, certain things. I said, all right, that's every morning, that almond butter and some blueberry, that's my breakfast every morning the last year.
And because you've made it simple, it's easy for you to do every day. You've taken out the cognitive load, right? You've taken out the decision making. It's It's just, this is what you do. And that's why you're winning, man. That's why you had such a f- fantastic transformation.
That's because I got Adam Blake on the sidelines of my phone, yeah, the Commissioner Gordon phone.
And you've got a network of people across this planet that are rooting for you to win.
Yeah.
And I'm
glad, you know, mad people been reaching out too. And also it's pretty funny. Some people actually are like, yo, are you sick? And I take it as a compliment, but I'm like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, chill out. I'm not like fucking Daniel Day-Lewis in that one movie, you know?
No, it's going to be, I'm really curious to see Madball with you. It's going to be, because you've got an onstage presence, man. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be interesting to see like the new style. We're going to get some jumps. We're going to get.
Yeah. That's why I'm getting new clothes. I don't even fit in my clothes. I'm telling everybody, yo, send me clothes. Cause I'm like,
yeah, it's awesome, man. It's awesome.
And now you got you did the live. So the live stream was up for the whole weekend, right? Up to today.
Yeah, we had it going for 48 hours and, they're going to get, at some point we're going to get the footage and I think we're going to put the audio. There was a song or two that didn't make it onto the stream and do it as like a live, you know, live. We're going to, you know, Garage Days record or whatever we'll call it. You know what I mean? Like in the garage or maybe give the doc away again with that. I mean, this is all sort of up in the air. Like no one knows, but
do some shit with it.
It's all going to be ours again. Yeah. I mean, we're not a band that's known for making records on a regular basis. So, you know, this will be a nice something for us to put out.
Yeah, man.
How about you, man? You've been writing?
Yeah, no, same thing. I've been like, I took a break for like 2 months. Like I was stocking up music and I have a lot of new shit. And then I took a break. I kind of got burnt, you know, just whatever. It was the holidays and all that shit. I said, let me give myself a break and recharge.
Yeah.
And, I'm actually starting up. I should have started. I told myself last week, okay, this is the week. Let's get it cracking. But now I'm going to start easing. I'm getting more. I got to get that itch. And I'm starting to itch more because, you know, it's our 10th album. And, you know, and I'm hearing cracklings of just stuff going around and it's getting me motivated, you know, to like, you know, to play again and all that shit. And same thing. So I saw that, you guys, when you did the live feed thing and you're going to put it out as a record, but it was on a website or it was on the H2O website?
It was this water company, Liquid Death.
You told me Liquid Death.
They've been sort of, I don't know if it's sponsoring or there's something to do with Tobe's podcast. So
gotcha. We
ended up doing it with those guys. And like some of the, like a percentage of the proceeds are going to this, I can't remember the name of it, but a charity that helps people get clean drinking water, which is obviously, you know,
that's
and
dope.
Let's be honest, man. H2O water company. Come on.
Hello.
Come on. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. Who's playing guitar? Rusty and who else?
Oh, we had, it was, you know, the recording lineup that we've always had. It was TF, myself, Todd, Rusty, and Toby.
Oh, so it was good. Todd, yeah.
Yeah,
he's good with Todd. Yeah. I seen him popping in. I'm gonna have him on here. I told he actually, you know, Hollywood Moore's got to get back to me. I'm waiting for him to get back to me.
Yeah, he's in the Offspring now. That's like he's actually a full on member, which is pretty spectacular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get psyched when I see him up there. And that's psychic shit. He's like songs. He's always been the song guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Even with his solo project, I was psyched because I was like, that's what he wanted to do. Songwriting and songs.
We've been fortunate. We've had some really amazing people, both musicians and humans, playing guitar for us over the years. But like when Todd hasn't been able to do it, but it is like there is something about like just because of the history we've had and like the things we've done together. When all like five of us are together, it just feels like a very
It is. I'll tell you, for me to say, I don't care who you put on drums. To me, when I always fuck with you with Top Friend, the hardest guy. I always say Top Friend, the hardest guy. But that to me, H2O is that. Like, it's just I hear, I'm like, this is how it should be. It's like, you know, that certain H2O has what Murphy's Law has is the rock and roll aspect where, you know, it's the attitude is live. It's sporadic, but that's how the music and that's how it's you get that feel. That's why I want, you know, great live band.
A band is a recipe, right? Like you've got the different ingredients, and like you take one ingredient out and you put it in, even if that ingredient is like better quality,
Yeah.
It's not the same fucking recipe. It changes the flavor. So, you know, with us, because we've for the most part kept the same core lineup for fuck, man. I'm the new guy and I'm 25 years in.
I know. I remember when you were the new guy.
Yeah, 25 years. So, you know, that you just like, you know, I don't know how, but I know when TF's going to speed that part up.
It's just there.
It's in the air, man. You know,
that's what makes the band sound good. Because
the band,
you catch, and that's when you feel that, you know, those things. That's why, you know, the rhythm section is following right. And it's a band. People lose track of the word band. It's a group of people working together.
Yeah.
I'm working and everybody's following, because some people think that too, you know. It's like
I think it takes time, you know what I mean, like to really make it. Like, and you can see, like, when super groups, right, they form, you've got these A-list dudes, you put them together and they're all in their own right spectacular, but it's never as good as like the band that they came from, that they were in for 10 years before that, because it takes time for that recipe to fucking to bake, to
marinate,
and rise.
Yeah, that gumbo.
That gumbo, there you go.
it's like a proper fucking fry up with everything on it.
Yeah, so that's, and that was what was great about doing this thing, was like actually getting to taste that recipe again, that flavor, just for a couple of hours. It was like a drug addict, right? Like, I got my hit, I'm good for a while, but maybe.
But what's the deal next? All right. Like, I mean, obviously everybody's waiting for stuff, but like, what's the word on any music? Are you even thinking about, recording some more shit? I know it's always lingering. Yeah,
it's hard. Like, we did our last record, Use Your Voice. Was Todd really wasn't, he was too busy to actually be a part of it. And I like that record a lot. Like, I think there's some really good songs on it, but at the same time, like, it just felt like, I don't know, it wasn't the recipe. You know what I mean? It might be a pleasant flavor in its own right, but it's the recipe. So I think what we need is to, when the time is right, we'll do it. If we make a record, you'll know it's because we really want to make a record. We're not like one of those, we're not on like that grind anymore. We did that for a long time, make the record, do the tour. All right, what time is it? Oh, it's time to make a new record. You know what I mean? We're more fractal, more
loose. Free spirits. You're more free spirits.
More loose with it. Yeah. But I mean, it might happen again. You know, I mean, I feel like we always talk about like our Fugazi record, like our grown-up hardcore record that we'll make. You know what I mean? I'm like, we all listen to so many different kinds of, I mean, like everybody in a band does, right? Like, I hate to break your hearts, kids, but Madball don't just listen to hardcore.
I know. They like, if people, they were sitting in a room moshing.
Seconds in the van, you know what I mean? We're listening to all these different styles of music, but at the same time, like, we all have a particular lane we want to stay in, but that lane can bring some different traffic on it. So who knows? Maybe we will make our, like, you know, one more record.
What I think about H2O, what you guys got, that is lucky, is that you don't have to be the band putting out the record every 2 years. And when you do come out, people are waiting for it, and you could still have a lot of successful tours and not be like, oh, they took, you know, some bands, they miss a year, they miss 2 years, they're forgotten about, like, really forgotten about. Yeah. You know, you guys, you know, put out a record 2 years, 4 years later, 6 years, and it'll be hyped up in the right way, which is dope.
We're really, really blessed. Like, we've, I don't know what else to say. Like, we're super fortunate, lucky, blessed, whatever it is. Like, I don't know how to comment, but it is amazing. Like, I'm like, wait, there's that many people at our show still?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Wow,
no, yeah, it's yeah. crazy. Yeah, I think
appreciate
the older we get, the more we appreciate it. You know, I definitely, you know, I see, you know, a lot of guys in our generation, not our generation, but from where we come from, our elders, a lot of these guys are bitter. Let's just keep it real. Thank God, not the stigmas and the Rogers, because that's the heartbeat of our universe.
1,000%.
But a lot of these other guys became bitter, and what I'm liking now is, our generation, the newer generation, aren't as bitter like that. I think there's still always the bitter people, but even the angry guys seem like what we should be doing. Yeah. Hardcore is the solution.
Yeah.
People forget that. But yeah, punk rock influence. Yeah, punk rock DNA. Yeah, but punk rock was destroyed. Hardcore was to build. Mm-hmm. And I think that, exactly. You know, and people got to remember that. And I think, you know, our generation are starting to be, you know, we're proud of where we come from,
yeah.
You know, and when we're continuing it now, like, look, you're still taking pride in putting out the shit that we're putting out, not just let's.
And one thing that I think, like, one silver lining to the whole COVID bit is that, like, we all kind of got sat in the corner and told we weren't allowed to play with our favorite toys for a while. You know what I mean? And maybe we didn't appreciate some of the stuff, or maybe I know for myself, man, like, I have periods where I'm on tour and I'm like, I love the show, but I fucking hate the rest of it. You know what I mean? Like, because I've done it since I was a kid, always. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm like, man, I can't wait to shit in a porta potty again.
Yeah, I know. I
can't wait to get no sleep for 3 days, because, which, you know, it's like,
Blake, you know what I was thinking about the other day, the same thing. I was thinking about those days. You're in the Sprint, but you feel good. You know, you showered. Everybody has a good attitude in the van. You're joking, then you stop at a truck stop, and you like feel it's good. Exciting. You know, just that feeling. I told myself literally 2 days ago. I was like, yo, I really miss that.
Yeah.
Like, to the shit talking, and yeah, you know, everybody's bugging out. We're talking shit on somebody or whatever, and we're going to the truck stop, getting some drinks, and it's like, just that feeling. It's like, man.
It's like whenever I talk to, like, younger bands, you know, it's always like, dude, enjoy this, because this, the first few years of doing this are, regardless of what happens career-wise, are always going to be the best, because it's, everything's fresh, everything's new, you know. Yeah, I mean, like, we love what we do. We're incredibly blessed to do what we do, but we've been doing it for a long time without stopping.
Yeah.
And there is a certain amount of, like, where you don't appreciate things quite as much. And that's just human, right? Like, it's just kind of what it is. But having not been able to do it, like, I really think, like, those little moments, like you're talking about, like the truck stop, you know what I mean? Like the checking into the hotel, like, oh, what are the rooms going to be like? You know?
Yeah, I know. Everything's
going to be new again. And that's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
It definitely was a wake up call. And I think, that's the plus out of it. You know, people appreciating what they got. I knew I was bugging out when I said, I even want to see the people I don't like. You know, like, I even want to see them, just to know that I could see them and they're there, and I could even be like, yo, what up? And even I don't like that guy that much, but just to be able to be around humans and have that option.
You know what I miss? One of the things I miss the most, and I know you're going to, if you play in a band, you're going to get this. The catering tent at a festival in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get to the festival, you get out of the van or bus, you walk across the field, right? It's fucking brutal summer heat. And you're like, who's on the bill? Oh, I'm psyched to see that dude. Oh, we're going to have a chat. Me and this guy. You go in the backstage and it's like into that tent. Is it going to be amazing, like a five-star cuisine? Or is it going to be like a guy with like a ladle just banging out
punk
something?
Rock stew, yeah.
Punk rock stew.
I know.
Man, I miss that. That's one of my favorite things that I'm really looking forward, because that's where the best convos happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know that. You know, the around the drinking coffee in the, you know, eating breakfast, eating lunch.
There's people that live in my town, right, that I see way more in fields in Europe than I do when I'm home. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's funny. Like, it's like its own little community universe.
Listen, Freddie, I ain't seen Freddie in a year. I saw him when I did the podcast with the band, but otherwise I haven't seen him since we went on an airplane back from California.
Yeah.
So it's like pretty crazy, but
yes. Sometimes it's nice to have that little separation from your band members, because, you know, it feels like it's like, I noticed that when I saw or my band, like, it was like a really felt like a family reunion.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was like all the little jokes and the little language that you had.
Like Thanksgiving, you have a catch up with your family members. Yeah. Everybody's catching up. Yeah, I know. I'm waiting.
Experience that gumbo, right? That you get that smell, and
I'm I'm fucking waiting for that, and you know, I smell it coming soon and shit. Yeah. And now, with the training, where you at now? So what are you doing? For I know you train people and you're in the gym sometimes.
Yeah,
too.
So most of what I'm doing now is online, and it's mostly focused on fat loss and body change. I mean, you know, like it was, you know, it became really apparent that there were a lot of people that I could help, and I wanted to. So I started doing more of the online coaching, and it's been really good, and people are getting amazing results. And, you know, it could be helpful for some people to have the accountability and then someone to help solve problems. Because ultimately, what changing your body is identifying problems and solving them, and preferably solving them in advance of them coming up. Things like, what do you do on your kid's birthday? Can you have the cake? Do you not have the cake? You know, kind of guide you through the whole process and keep you on track. I still do a little bit of in-person stuff, but it's much, much less than I've been doing. But it gets me, you know what it is, man? I got to get out of the house. You know what I mean? Like, need a reason to get out of the house, and it gets me into the gym and doing stuff. So
now, is the going to the gym less because of the COVID thing, or just you got most of your people are happen to be on the Zoom?
Most of my people are online at this point, but I do enjoy in-person coaching. In-person coaching allows me to do more different kinds of things with people. Like, you know, I have some 75-year-olds that I train that I wouldn't, like, putting them on a program at home, they need me to be there with them physically to help them and stuff like that. And some of the more athletic types, it's that their training needs to be a lot more dialed in than, like, fat loss training can be pretty simple to get. To get the body that you want doesn't need to be that tricky, but for athletes and people like that, it needs to be a little bit more under the hood. So, I'm staying busy, you know, doing my best to help as many people as I can. And, you know, one of the good things about doing online coaching as well, I can do it on the road. So that's, you know.
Yeah, that's dope too. And that's a good thing. That's what I want to tell everybody before we get out of that, where that first of all, everybody out there, if you're trying to get your shit together, you better follow him on Instagram. And I never told anybody to follow anybody. But I tell people to follow you because he's been my secret weapon. Also follow him on his, because he says what we need to hear when you're not educated on this shit, and he speaks like a human. An everyday blue collared human.
I say it in a way that the people that need to hear it can understand.
Exactly.
That's the key.
And if they want to take it further with you, they'll be able to get in touch with you through.
Yeah, you can just, you know, like, I'm pretty accessible. You can either just shoot me a DM. My Instagram is AdamBlake007, or you can go to AdamBlakeFitness.com, and there's a link to get like a free ebook that kind of breaks down like the big picture stuff of fat loss. But either or, man, just hit me up. You know, I'm. It's hardcore. You know, it's just come say hi, you know,
DM or in person. Yeah. If you want to learn some baselines, or if you want to learn how to lose some fat.
That's what we focus on, man. Lose the fat, keep the muscle.
Listen, you know, no shame in my game. Like I said, Adam Blake's been my secret weapon, but definitely hit him up. Follow him. He's talking that shit that, you know, that smart shit. And waiting to play with H2O again. You know what's up. Tell all the fellas what's up.
Dude, Adam I will. Blake,
I'm glad I got you on here. I've been wanting to get you on here for a second, but even more lately because we've been fresh with some of this.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to see you in a. I can't wait to sit down with you in some catering tent in the sweltering heat of summer Europe and eat.
I'll be the guy in the banana hammock. So
yeah, they right. That's right. Now you got the banana hammock bod.
You know, I got the banana hammock body. So all you banana hammock companies out there, holla at your boy. But Adam Blake, I'm glad you came on.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. It's great seeing you, man. It's been too long. Too long.
You know what's up, Blake? And we'll talk, and I'll send you the info when this shit gets posted.
Please do. I'm excited. Absolutely. All right, my brother. Talk soon.
One love.
One love. Peace.